Opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Guardian Radio AM. Today is Thursday, March 5th. It's a little after 11 o'clock in the morning. Once again, this is C.A. Nuri and I shall be your host for today. The numbers to call in today are 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259. Of course, Family Island, you can call 242-300-5720. And of course, you should already have the text line. Every line, you can text us at 4224796. Again, that's 4224796. I have two themes I want to discuss today. I want to discuss money in politics. That's a theme I want to discuss. How important is money in campaigning? And I spoke about once before that I want my MP to be rich. That was the theme, right? And we discussed what are the prerequisites of being a good MP. What should MPs be doing? But today I want to discuss money in Paul's theme. The other theme I want to discuss is the headlines. The headlines in today's newspaper. You can pick up the Nassau Guardian or the Tribune. Where are my Nassau Guardian people? That means I got to go to my phone. They usually provide us with a stack of Nassau Guardian that can read the headlines, and mine's is not next to me. I fault me because it's a stack right there. I could just pick one up, but one's normally here. But that's not being said. I'm going to read the headlines and also money in politics. I see the spouse of the Prime Minister is on the front page of the Tribune, actually. It says, PM spouse urges marital rape focus. Because I'm going to analyze that. I'm not necessarily going to read the article. I'm going to analyze that and have you respond to that. Let me read it. Spouse. The wife. Urges marital rape focus. Right? Because if it was something urgent and important, the Prime Minister was going to push it forward. If it was something urgent and important to Bahamians, our Prime Minister of the Commonwealth of the Bahamas would have pushed it forward. Because the spouse, I'm not sure if the listening audience know, the spouse of the Prime Minister, she see him every day. She lay next to him and tap him. Good morning. She makes breakfast. She say, when you ask, how was your day at work today? You know, how was your day? What are you thinking about today? You know, some things you need to talk about. This happens daily between these two. So to see the wife of the Prime Minister is in the paper suggests marital rape needs to be focused on, knowing exactly that if it was serious, it's something important to the Bahamas, she could have whispered to her good husband, like how Delilah did to Samson. You know, that's David and Bathsheba. Bathsheba did to David. How Mary said to Joseph, this is important to me, husband of the Bahamas, husband. This is important to your daughter's husband. But I assume it's not important to the Bahamian people. And this is what I believe our Prime Minister told us. I hear you. I hear you for the last 5+ years of making noise about this, but this ain't happening. And I believe that because she already know or got the memo, got the notice, she's now doing this campaign on her own to try convince women who are also not interested because they're not campaigning and suggesting. So I think this is all idleness right now. I got to call it what it is to force the powers that be to finally either dismiss it or push it through. I think this is idle talk by the good lady, the spouse of the Prime Minister, Anne Marie Davis. And it's a political season, so I know the prime minister is not going to bring this up. She knew the prime minister is not going to bring this up during this time, right? So it's a semi-campaign, you know, like a sub-campaign. So, okay, you encourage those intellectual women groups that you're still working on it, right? Let's get them excited. But you know, for true, I ain't paying attention to this. I ain't paying attention to this. Why? Because Bahamian men don't rape their wives. Full stop, see? Controversial. That's what gets y'all to call in. Bahamian men don't rape their wives. So there's no need for the law. Right? That ain't that. Talk about something else. We have a caller here. As we talk about the headlines, I'm going to talk about money and politics. I'm going to include those and fuse those two conversations into headlines I want to bring to my listening audience attention. Hear what they have to say. Call back. Sorry, but I didn't answer the phone. Hear what they have to say about such things. Another headline that caught my attention, and that was in The Guardian, was, let me see if I can read it now, because I post up. Jet ski operators banned from riding with guests. For decades now, keyword is decades, there have been a number of reports by locals, and particularly tourists, right? And the key word there, particularly tourists, we had a jet ski operator who was arrested, detained recently for riding with a guest. They had a protocol on the jet ski operator's beach, and he happened to be riding with this Black American lady. And of course, he was detained and for whatever reason. And did a very viral video. And I can talk about that next. But let me talk about this first. Jet ski operators banned from riding with guests. Let me read a little bit of that. It says, jet ski operators are now barred from riding with guests under new maritime regulations designed to curb sexual misconduct and tighten safety oversight in the Bahamas water sports industry. The rule is among several that followed pressure from the United States for stronger regulations of water sports industry after several sexual assaults allegations involving jet ski operators. I can leave it right there. Remember I was talking about the jet ski operator who did a viral video? Apparently he had an American girlfriend, right, who comes down and stay with him like 3 months, and he goes there for 3 months and back and forth. They have that type of relationship. She has some children with him, right? The children lives both places. And in fact, at this particular time when he was detained by police officers for having a tourist in back of him or in front of him, he claimed, but it's my girlfriend. In fact, my fiance. See, we live together. Shows pictures, whatever it is. He said, it's unfair that you have a charge or whatever these have on me when this person is not riding for recreation. This is my woman. She comes down. When she comes down, she stays with me. In fact, she sees you driving my car. How can you arrest me? Right? Get arrested all the same anyway. He's saying this by the port controller and all kind of stuff inside his viral practices. But back to the issue at hand. For decades, a number of American guests, especially the U.S. Embassy, have been making complaints that the jet ski operators, one or two of them, have some sexual misconduct. They assault the guests. They touch them up. They feel them up. They proposition them. They blackmail them, put that in quotes. And blackmailing means that they take them outside the deep and say, if you want to go back to land, you got to help me out. They take them back at the island and drop them on the quay there and say, if you want to go back, you got to help me out. I say help me out as one of those nice words instead of the real. But it's a sexual assault they're doing, you know. And the complaints have been again and again and again, but nobody has been addressing it. The jet ski community is quite aware about the complaints. They are very much aware of the people who are doing this, because afterwards, some of the operators come and brag, boy, you wouldn't believe this person do to me what we did while we were driving. All these Americans like this, this, that. All you got to do is convince them. But they come here for that. This is the excuse that they use. But I said all of that to get here. In the jet ski business, in the what the utility vehicles, I forget, UV, someone can text me and tell me the right name for the vehicles, the terrain vehicles. I forget the correct name. The jet ski vehicles, the terrain jeep-like vehicles, and the scooter vehicles, the rentals, all have criminal elements involved in them. In our hopes to include, empower Bahamians, there is a criminal element who looking for alternative jobs, right? Where they could be entrepreneurs, right? And they have now taken spot in the jet ski business, taken refuge in the scooter rentals, taken refuge in those utility, off-terrain utility vehicles, and they brought their criminal enterprise there. You go there, you could buy anything you want to desire from a jet ski operator, from a scooter operator, and from those Jeep operators. You can see the criminal element exuding out of these spaces, and they're not properly policed. It's like a powder keg waiting to explode. And it's happening because nobody is saying that let's police this space. We're not going to disenfranchise Bahamians who are looking for a second chance of employment. But if they're using their second chance to push forward their criminal enterprise, it's a problem for the Bahamas. It's a problem for me. That means I need to go there and speak out against it. I mean, the police need to have a stronger presence. That means the minister who's responsible for maritime, minister who's responsible for rentals and cars and like that, needs to have a stronger presence there. They need to have outreach program to explain to these operators that there is a criminal element and you will be penalized if you entertain the criminal element. The sex says, morning, CA. Boy, all kinds of issues getting addressed now. Won't be long. The bell is going to ring any day now. And I say April 16th will be the election. As soon as Lent is over, bring it on. Lord knows we need relief from this tyranny. That's what the text says. This texter is correcting me with the name, and I appreciate you, texter. The four-wheelers are called ATVs. ATVs, and that's what I mean. They have a criminal element that has seeped through and is present at these rentals. And the police, the defense force, the minister responsible for these enterprises needs to go down to these places and say, and address the situation before we are embarrassed internationally. And particularly, yes, thank you very much, Kermit. I guess get a message there. ATVs. All my texts are coming through now. Appreciate that. Again, another one says, the police own the scooters. That reminds me when it was said that the police owned the strip clubs, which were illegal. And now they're saying that the police own the scooters and they are responsible for it, or why it's not being policed. That's something we need to investigate. Regarding that. This text says, morning, the marital rape story may be a distraction from the Grand Bahama Port Authority story. And that may be so. I'm not sure how this became an issue when most of Bahamas has forgotten about it. But it's now in the headlines. I'm assuming that the women's liberal groups will be up in angst and be up in the, you know, trying to push the agenda when no one is actually paying attention to it. It's not an urgent issue. It's like the freedom of information. It's not urgent. If it's urgent, Bahamians going to be complaining about it. We're not going to address it. And I'm not sure if someone needs to send a memo to Mrs. Davis and say, Miss Davis, I feel you, but we ain't going to never pass it. Move on. Find another cause. Find another cause to Just deal with some children. But find something else to talk about, because all you're doing is frustrating people. Recently, inside the news, we've seen we had a number of cases where men have been... they've been accused for rape, and then we found out that the women either retracted their story or concluded that the police have concluded that what the women are saying or suggesting was not the truth. This is a concern that a number of Bahamian men have, which is scary, because I'm not sure what type of woman they marry. They have concern about their wives, their loved ones, and particularly in this case, it's wives. A number of Bahamian men are apparently do not trust their wives. UB, University of the Bahamas, have now coming forward information, saying, oh, this is good. They're doing research. The research is saying that the wives cheat more than the men. And the Bahamian men, of course, using this data and say, see, I tell you the wives is not good. And I'm trying to say to UB, see, y'all, the type of things you're researching and putting forward as things good for the Bahamas, you're destroying the Bahamian family, man. So now we have a number of Bahamian men saying, see, even the university is putting forward information that Bahamian women, Bahamian wives in particular, is not to be trusted. It's a narrative. An anti-woman narrative is being peddled through, sewn into our society. And I believe now the University of the Bahamas is now adding to that mischief. Unfortunately, I don't think they meant it that way, but of course they should have known the Bahamian psyche and the Bahamian culture. Right? The research they're doing about what they're putting forward, it's not enhancing us as a people. In fact, it's causing a lot of people to question them, causing a number of people to question our society, and it's most unfortunate. It's most unfortunate, right? But those were the two headlines I wanted to bring about. The PM's spouse urges marital rape focus. And again, I said, I'm not sure who she's speaking to, because she can't be speaking to her husband. Right, because she could tell him that at home, and if it's important to him and his government, he's going to push it forward. So I think that she realized that it's not important to her husband, so therefore she is now lobbying others, people of her kind. Mind you, the Bahamian church has already spoken on this, they ain't interested. Bahamian men have already spoken to about this, they ain't interested. And Bahamian women have spoken about it too. They ain't interested, but yet there are some people who continue to push. And I'm saying, man, use your energies to find something that can actually push forward. Now, I'm not saying that I don't believe that this law shouldn't exist. I'm just saying that the Bahamian people don't want it. How long you will continue to push it to the fore, right? Especially when the announcement is clear. Like I said, the second article I pushed forward was about the jet ski operators. I think that is a concern. I'm glad that they're making some protocols to police it. I think it's going to be a challenge to police it. I think this is a band-aid approach by officials to say that, you just can't ride in back of a male tourist, right, is not necessarily the solution, because the criminal element still exists. They wait till they come off the jet ski and do what they got to do off the jet ski, right? We need someone to go and police the space. We need to remove the criminal element from these spaces, right? And it's a major concern. United States have brought it up again and again and again and again. And I only think I can assume, due to our reaction to it or lack thereof, is that either we don't care or we don't take the United States Embassy's concern seriously. So you got to say these things, and hopefully the authorities, the Bahamian authorities, respond in kind and say, okay, see, we're taking it seriously. This is the steps we're going to do. But I don't think they're working hard enough. I've been hearing this story from as a young man, from 19 to now. I've had people who I've worked with who came from off the beach as workers coming into establishment and saying that, yes, this is things that they do. And use the excuse, don't worry, the tourists like it. They go and target, especially how it's spring break now, they target spring breakers. And then they say, no, the tourists don't like it. They come here for that. Right? They come here for a black experience. They like it. And until we address and arrest these issues, it'll continue. But I don't believe the powers that be are serious about it. Another news headline I saw was regarding police officers who remain on the job after not breaches or be accused breaches. I'm trying to see if I can find that article, but it looked like I need to do a summary of it because I did take a snapshot of that. One was an officer who's involved in a police shooting. Oh, see, I have it right here. Officer involved in a fatal shooting of Tinker still on active duty. And I'm trying to find out what active duty is. And I just read at the beginning of it. Say the police officer involved in a recent fatal shooting of a man in New Providence remained on active duty. Police Commissioner Shanta No said yesterday the shooting followed an altercation between the officer and a 28-year-old Machiavelli Tinker at the fatally wounded man's residence on St. Margaret's Road. And then she went on to say there are protocols when an officer fires his or her weapon, and those protocols have been followed, and that case will be referred to Her Majesty's coroner. So my concern is, imagine the social impact of your fellow officers who's watching this. Imagine the social impact of Bahamians who is watching this. Imagine the psyche of the officer involved in this. Now, mind you, I'm not saying that what the officer done was wrong or right. There's going to be an investigation about that in general. But certainly, for him to be working with fellow police officers who are questioning whether it's fair, who are concerned, right, it shows that we now need to start putting pressure on the commissioner of police regarding it. There's another police officer, senior sergeant, I think, who is going to be given state's evidence against two police officers charged recently with the Johnson case, right? The director of a public prosecution has given him immunity, right? Has given the sergeant immunity for testifying against two other officers or whatever it is. And I'm cool with that. I understand that the prosecution office have to do whatever to do in order to build a case. The officer involved, what I'm talking about, has admitted to taking bribes. He said, I took the bribe. I take bribes. But they're going to use his testimony of who all was involved in taking the bribes and say, well, because of that, we're not going to charge. You can get immunity. And now come back to the commissioner of police, Ms. Shanta Knowles. She has realized that her officer has admitted that he's take bribes. But he's still on active duty. I just don't understand it. I didn't say I do it. He didn't say he's do it. But he's still on active duty, working with fellow police officers, working with the public. And I said, imagine the psyche of his fellow police officers, especially the underlings who come in up and say, this boy's still working. I could take bribes too. Remember the gentleman who told the scooter rider, the tourist who was recording, said, just help me out, man. Don't do it in front of my supervisor. You know, turn this way. But I can help you out because you're driving an illegal scooter. And he just happened to be recorded. Right? It's like two. And mind you, they dealt with that particular police officer who happened to be recorded. But there was two police officers shown in this correspondence. But you only have but one. Right? On Broad Shirley Street. And I'm wondering now if there is a culture there. And you, some people ask me, so why would you suggest that there's a culture there? But when you're saying that a police officer could confess, yes, I take bribes. Right? And he's still on active duty. Dealing with the public. Dealing with his fellow police officers. And they watching, especially juniors. They watching. Something is wrong. And I don't know the procedure in terms of getting three-quarters pay. Or put on desk duty, say, well, the officers, them have been put on desk duty. They're now at the police headquarters and doing administrative work for the next couple of months, right? I can even appreciate that. Like, appreciate it. Say, man, they have an internal thing they're doing. But they're on active duty. You see? Something is wrong. But that's your police force, man. I only can bring things up I said that there were articles I saw, and I said, I wonder if anyone else sees a concern about these things. So this text says, CA, people don't want a marital rape law because they don't think they will ever need it. I don't think I'll never need it. Okay. I hear you, texter. You may have to text back and explain what you mean by that. I don't think I'll ever need it, right? But I have a different type of wife. I have a decent wife, an accommodating wife. Some wives different, especially Baptist. Anglican wife's different, right? This text, I come to you, caller. Prep that caller for me, Kermit. CA, cause the whole force corrupt. I wouldn't say the whole force is corrupt, texter. Nice, 95% for sure. I ain't asking you. I'm telling you. You don't know that for sure. So you... But go ahead, text. I said, too many weak officers see their guys doing stuff and don't want to say nothing. Weak in individuals who supposed to protect and serve us. I can't read that part, text, but I appreciate what you're trying to say. Some of that is salacious. And I say salacious things, but I just can't say that salacious thing on the open air and expect to be here long. Go ahead, caller. Guardian Radio AM. You're live.
Hi, good morning, sir. First time caller here. I just wanted to comment on the whole bribery situation on Shirley Street. I commute that street every day for work and have been doing so for the last 2.5 years, going to Paradise Island. And there's probably maybe 2 days out of the week them officers would not be on that road. And they had this culture, as you would have said, they had this culture of pulling people over. And instead of dealing with the situation right there on the street, they have them pulled through the corner where no eyes can be seen. And they would let you know, hey, if you don't want to get your car towed, just send $100, man. Put $100 on my on my plate. You know, this is something I've witnessed people. I haven't witnessed it myself, but I've had coworkers tell me, hey, man, I just had to spend $100 before, you know. But behaviors shouldn't turn a blind eye to the fact that we are a bribing culture. I mean, we have a bribing culture. When you go to the customs officer and you don't want them to, you know, check in your bag, you slip them something. When you got the police officer, et cetera, I don't know how you bribe BDF. Maybe the fishermen, them, I know, but you get them on 2 cases of crawfish. But that's in our culture, man. That ain't something we could run from, you know. So that's just my 5 cents on it. I don't know how we fix the issue. I just know that it's a thing. Whether it's a problem, I mean, it definitely could be a problem with the bribing situation. But, yeah, we got to do better as a society in order for it to change. But for right now, that's what it is. And I don't know, maybe you might have solutions that you could talk about, and I'll listen in. Thanks for having my call.
Man, I appreciate you calling, especially for a first-time caller. And you mentioned that as a cultural thing. Let me tell you something that is cultural that don't make sense, right? And it may just be a cultural thing. I can read the headline here, and I was trying to move from the headline to talk about money and politics, right? But this is the headline. The PM promises no increase in BPL bills despite rising global oil costs. I want that to sit in with you and go back to cultural and corruption and whatever it is, and you interpret it. The PM promises no increase in BPL bills despite rising global oil costs. Now, we know the oil costs is going to be, going to be increased, right? Because of whatever war is happening. But for our prime minister, to announce that he increases nothing, he's going to, I guess, intervene in BPL. I'm not sure if that's a private company anymore, or quasi-private company anymore. But he's going to guarantee that there's not going to be any increases in pricing. I have a problem with that. I have a problem with that because I know someone got to pay. Now, you tell me I ain't got to pay now, right? But who's got to pay? right? I don't believe in our government getting involved in business and enterprises. That's why things tend not to work properly, right? And I don't see anybody complaining. I mean, who is the CPA, the CEO, the CEO of the company to say, hey, Mr. Prime Minister, I know you mean well, but that can't work. That's not good business, what you're saying. And I need to interject here and tell you, no, Mr. Leader, you can't do that, right? This text says, my point is the law should be in place for those who need it. You and your wife and many others may not need it, but I want people who need protection under marital rape law to have it, just like laws for murder, etc. They only apply to those who commit the offense. I think it's impossible to prove marital rape. I expect a man to have relations with his wife, be it rough or sensual or whatever. That's their to do. That's their kinkiness. And I'm just trying to say, how do you prove it? If she said, yes, my husband raped me. Okay. And he said, no, I didn't rape her. He's role playing. And that the conversation to me is over, right? Because he say, he she say, you need to bring some evidence towards me. Now, you might say, see the abuse. Lock him up for abuse. But I know the sex part is consensual. That's what you're supposed to do. This is what you're supposed to do with your wife. This is what you're supposed to do with your husband. I just don't know how you can prove it. Let's go to the caller again. Go prep the call for me, Kermit. Go ahead, call him.
Hey, how you doing, T?
I'm doing well, man.
Good. Yeah, you know, I'm talking about the marital rape thing. I don't see how that could even be balanced. I'm not even talking. It's almost literal hard to prove rape beyond marriage. And 99% of rape, if you understand the concept of it and proving it, is on the burden of proof is on the male. And when I say burden of proof, I'm talking about, because the first thing, you know, any male is going to say, I didn't do anything. I could just right now, let me show you how crazy this stuff is. I could literally just had intercourse with my girlfriend or someone I just met, you know, this week. And the first thing the woman cry out, say, I rape her. And now I lock up based on her words. And literally, I could have just had physical relations with this person. So now how am I in God's name going to be able to prove that this was consensual and non-consensual? It has always been a law that is in the deficit towards a male. Because the female could say that, and literally, it don't have to be true. But the first thing that's going to happen is, as a male, you lock up. And then after you lock up, then you have to go through the process of proving that you did or you did not do what she's accusing you of doing. So it is... That's only on a regular aspect of rape. I'm not even talking about a husband and a wife who this stuff's supposed to be a normal practice on a daily basis for some people, on a every other day practice for some people. And we got some, I hate to say it, we got some wicked women.
My wife is not wicked.
That's what I'm saying, your wife ain't wicked.
I hope you know
we
that.
We got some wicked women who, out of spite and out of just pure evil, will say, hey, if you don't do this, I can cry this, and I want this X, Y, Z, X, Y, Z. And you'll be surprised to know how many times people had to hire private investigators with situations where recordings and all this stuff, and the woman eventually admitting, and then that's the only way them brothers them could have got out of that situation. I'm not saying that it doesn't happen. I'm talking about regular forcible intercourse. But I'm talking about the burden of proof is always on the male. Never the female in that instance. Because all she has to do is say, I have been this, and you lock up as a man. Now, a man can't never go and say, well, this happened to me. And most men are not, even if a man rapes another man, because that's the only way it can happen, by penetration, if a man rapes another man, you think most of these brothers are going to any police station and say, this nigga raped me? Not in the date, not in this date. And if you go there, they may look at you and laugh and say, man, get up here talking foolishness. But it's always been the disadvantage of the male to prove himself innocent. How is that fair in anywhere in the world? I wouldn't even talk about the marriage.
I hear you. I appreciate you. And I know your concern. You're not coming as a sexist man trying to, you're making a point. Recently, a woman joked up her husband and beat him with a baseball bat, bludgeoned him. She went in front of the magistrate and he gave her a warning, said, go and sin no more. That was the outcome of the case. And I believe the reason why she got it was she said that her husband was cheating on him. She could become cheating on her, and she got emotional and whatever it is. I think her husband got involved and said, you know what? I have a good woman. I was cheating on her, and I deserve to get bludgeoned with a baseball bat and juke up a couple of times. Don't prosecute her. But it could have never happened in the reverse. And I think that as we pursue these laws, there are a number of men saying, okay, if you're going to be fair, be completely fair. And make sure the goose is good. What's good for the goose is good for the gander. But that's not happening inside the Bahamas. So all these things have to be a pause and stuck for a minute, right? CA is a text that CA, my wife is be mad at me and still we make love when I or she wants it. I don't understand this marital rape thing, right? Many of these females are cheating and some are gay. If a female do not want to be married, she should leave. That's what the texts say. See, there's a lot of anti-woman sentiments that are brewing in the Bahamas. And I'm thinking even with this narrative of marital rape is adding to it, where men are becoming defensive, right? So they believe that women are attacking them for being men. And as they get more defensive, they asking other fellow men who are in parliament to say, hey, think about your safety, right? You're all married too. You know what your woman could do. This text says, I won't support marital rape. I don't mind when my wife, call her, text her. I ain't gonna read that. This texter is saying that his wife has penetrated him and he don't mind it. I don't need to know that, especially on, I don't need to know that. That's what he said. He said his wife has raped his penetration. I don't know why he would want to text me that on an open line to confess such things. Kermit, you disbelief too, right? I don't know. I don't know why he did it. Text, you could keep that to yourself. I mean, I'll pray for you. My wife don't do those things. Let's go to the caller. Go ahead, caller. Guardian Radio AM, you're live.
Yeah, good morning. How are you doing, sir?
I'm just flabbergasted of the last text. Go ahead.
Okay. Before I get to my point, let me ask you a question with this marital rape thing. Let me ask you a question. Is a caterpillar a frog?
A frog? No, a caterpillar is not a frog.
What am I saying? I take it back. The caterpillar, a butterfly?
No, they're two different things.
It's not a butterfly?
No.
It's a tadpole, a frog?
No, they're two different things.
So I'll put it to you like this. If we allow it to develop into its full stage, it will be a frog.
Okay.
The tadpole will be a frog, the caterpillar will be a butterfly, correct?
Yes. Okay.
If you allow it to develop.
Mm-hmm.
I hear the Prime Minister, well, she talks about the marital rape thing, right? But we are all over the place dividing the country, creating these divisive things. I don't know why, that's really going to happen. But then she talked about protecting the unborn fetus. You know the status on that?
Go ahead, I'm listening.
Women who are murdered, women who are rapist, who is murdered while being pregnant, and the unborn fetus life is interrupted, it counts as nothing, right? But I still maintain, a caterpillar is still a butterfly if you allow it to develop. A tadpole is still a frog if you allow it to develop. That unborn fetus is still a human if you allow it to develop. That's how it works. That's science. No one can tell me nothing differently. But we have unborn babies who are being murdered
whose life is being interrupted, and big grown politicians, the church, the president of the Christian Council, they all have been through these various stages to become a human being, you know. But not a one will open their mouth to protect the unborn fetus. It's a woman's issue, you know. It's not a man's issue.
You anti-abortion?
It only becomes a man's issue if I'm responsible for the unborn fetus.
Are you saying you're against anti-abortion? That's what you're saying today? Are you against abortion? Are you anti-abortion? That's what you're saying now?
Most definitely. But this has nothing to do with abortion.
I thought you were talking about abortion.
No, I'm talking about if a pregnant woman is murdered,
okay,
and the unborn fetus life is interrupted, our law says that the unborn fetus does not count.
So you're saying,
that's what our law says.
You're saying that if a woman is pregnant and she terminates the child, she committed murder.
She's murdered.
She's murdered her child.
No, the baby.
Hold on. The baby is alive. And if she takes an abortion, she's a murderer.
Yeah, but the point is, I agree with you.
I agree with you. And more behemoth women need to be charged for murder. For aborting their child.
Especially those ones who are doing it for fun, you know, or if they're angry, you know, these things happen. But my thing still remains the same, you know. If abortion is illegal in the Bahamas, why does the unborn life of a baby does not count? If our laws already acknowledge that there's something...
I agree with you.
But we all screwed up in this town and can't... we got to be the most backward country on the planet, because these common sense things, politicians, the church, everybody have a problem addressing these things and bringing it out to its most logical conclusion. These common sense, basic things, we can get a consensus to bring law to recognize the unborn life of a fetus. But on the other hand, if a woman commits abortion and she is caught, she could be charged for murder.
Mm-hmm.
Just unbelievable how stupid we are as a people, man. It got to be. I don't confess to be the smartest person in the Bahamas. But my God, man, these people who run this country got to be the most dumbest, in my estimation, but I rest my case.
Yeah, I appreciate you, Clever. Since I started the program, I've had so many anti-women posts, texts to me. There's a number of men, clearly they're men, who are very anti-women. It's a concern. See, look at this text. Say, many of these females, you call them females, go into the marriage with their sweetheart already. And they never, say, well, I mean, what that have to do with raping one's wife or whatever it is? I mean, what type of thinking that you say, I'm going to text that? That's peculiar. CA, they will never pass the law in this rapey country. I have been raped by my husband 3 weeks after I had our second child. It wasn't consensual, but what can I do? He laughed and said, you can't rape your wife. So also men lie sincerely. They made a lot of women monsters. There's no love for females anymore. And caller, I'm very sorry that you went through that. I mean, sincerely, I don't know how do I do a response for that. I'm hoping that you left that monster. I'm hoping that you left that monster and take away your child from seeing that monster. I wish ill against that monster that you married and stayed married to, right? It's most unfortunate that you went through that. I'm glad that you're a survivor of such. I acknowledge there are some monsters out there who don't deserve life. They need their life end to do that to their wives. Does it change my concern whether a man can rape his wife? It doesn't, but I acknowledge the pain that you've gone through. And I'm only going to pray that women who see they are married to abusive men, that they leave them early. You run away. You leave them early before they take your life. You leave them early, right? I'm sorry that you went through that, Texter. This text says there is an anti-woman sentiment because we have a lot of gay men that are married and bisexual, but speaking under the guise of heterosexuality. There are some people, a number of women, feminists, who claim that all men are gay, straight across the board. So I see you, Texter, who are you trying to separate the heterosexual man from the homosexual, bisexual man, but all men are the same. So I'm not sure what you're trying to say. There may be a lobby now that women should not get married because they would be either marry a heterosexual man who have the same beliefs as a bisexual man who have the same belief as a homosexual man, because men, as a normal type, tend to think alike. You may not need to marry men at all. Just find someone like you. Women have apparatus now that you can be straight. You wouldn't be straight at all. You'd be different. No? You could be different, right? Okay, the text is good. I just trying to change conversations. So this text is saying, but women don't care, so why should men care about the law? Women need to lobby, and how they're lobbying, I don't think it's working in terms of convincing men. So they now need to lobby as if men are the enemies, or men don't care, or men will not entertain it at all. And perhaps lobby women or have more women in parliament. I'm not sure if any of our parliamentarians, females, have spoken about this. We have people from the outside, the spouse of the prime minister, speak about it. But I don't know if a Jobet Colby has spoken about it. I don't know if a Leslie Bryce has spoken about it. I don't know if any of the female parliamentarians. They say, you know what? I'm going to lead this charge and I'm going to put this law through. And you can remind, you can table law. No, that's what the independent candidate who running for Kalani said, right? Any person can put the law through, but those female politicians, they ain't putting this through. They putting it in their back pocket and say, get sit on that. This text says, she has been nice enough not to, okay, can't read that again, Texter. Texter being fresh with me. On the text line. I need to show this to my wife. These people, fresh on the text line. I wonder how Dwight and Aaron is dealing with these texts, man. I mean, the type of things they text and expect you to read. Like, I can't read those things. Okay, what does text this now? It says, sometimes there's nowhere to go, especially when he's like the most. Who's liked by most, who know nothing about what goes on behind Bohemians' love to gossip, spread rumors, to judge based on looks. But of course, men can be raped too. The law needs to take rape seriously on a whole. This text said, we are on the last days where men have turned to men for help and support. They care nothing for us women. And this text is concerned about how the changing of men. Men are no longer men. And my mom used to tell me that the culture of men is dictated by women, that mothers grew up their boy child to be a certain type of man. And when you're seeing these manny men, these soft men, these men who are lovers of themselves, it's the mother to blame, right? No father in their life to say, men don't act like this. Men don't do that. They want to brush their child off. And then they complain later on that these are the men that they have to date and be married. Mothers did that. Mothers have thwarted men altogether to have these men, what I call sick in the minds, right? I'm not sure how a grown man can find a child attractive. I don't know how a grown man can molest his own child. I don't know how a grown man could rape his wife. But it's happening. Right? It's happening, right? I'm not dismissing that it's happening. This is a continued text from the texter who said that she was sexually assaulted by her husband. And she was given testimony that it was hard to move on because of who her husband was, overbearing. And I know of a number, growing up in the inner city, I know of a number of women who could not escape from their husband. Their husband was just abusive, right? I know that exists. But I don't know how would I save them as a man? Like, you come to me as a woman and say, my husband raped me. And I know that the husband abusive already. I say, miss, you have to go with God because I don't know what to do. Let's go just speak through these texts now, Kermit. Give them some chance. Go ahead, caller.
Hey, buddy.
Hey, go ahead. I'm trying to give you in the next call the last 2 minutes. Go ahead.
All is well, eh?
Yeah, man. Make it quick.
Yeah, you should say there's something very important. You can blame the parent for the fact of becoming homosexual. So see, we're shopping and they don't take your children out of the work no more. They offer them everything. You don't have no more chores. And then on the other hand, you have to have some people that's late, some lazy fellas who don't want them, but everything they see, they want. That's all. And when you see things and you get in an environment, anything is able to happen to you. Good morning.
Okay, thanks. I want to apologize to people who heard that said the mothers make people homosexual. That's not true. Let's go to the caller and make this last call. Quickly there, caller. I'm trying to squeeze you in. Go ahead, caller.
Hello.
You're live, caller. The last 30 seconds. Thank you very much.
But I would like to say that the word S-I-N is to be blamed.
The word sin is to be blamed.
What we need in this country today is a national revival.
A national revival.
Yes, and the Christian Council should be more vocal to these churches and denominations.
So the political arm of the church should be more vocal.
Preach to one man, one woman. That is what God is pleased with, and we have apparently gone away from the laws of God. Okay. Have a good day.
Thank you very much. There's a little garbled there, and I was trying to interpret it while the lady was talking. She says, one man with one woman, and that we need to return to God. But it's now 12 o'clock. Thank you very much for listening. Hopefully tomorrow I get to speak about money in politics. I know a number of people want to speak on this particular topic. But this has been Guardian Radio AM with C.A. Nuri. Thank you very much for your patience with me. Have a wonderful day.
This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news and intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversations. 96.9 FM.